This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Coming to you from the Circa Sportsbook here in downtown Las Vegas. Hello and Merry Christmas. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We are watching the final drive here of your late Christmas Day game between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Denver Broncos. Denver with a 20-13 lead on Kansas City. And for those of you that are concerned about a possible overtime, I promise you, we will never have overtime in this game. Not like you'd be concerned, like, because if you are playing an under, which it's looking like it's coming in right now at 33 total points, but if the Chiefs do get a touchdown here, if Chris Oladukun does throw a touchdown pass, then there's no world in which Andy Reid kicks the extra point. By the way, Oladukun does not throw the touchdown pass. That'll be the ball game, folks, as the Kansas City Chiefs turn it over on downs. The Denver Broncos take over, and they will go on to win 20-13 and improve to 13-3 on the season. Kansas City will drop to 6-10. Valiant effort. They were two touchdown dogs. They covered in this game despite, and this is just the fluke nature of the NFL that we live in here, despite being out-yarded by over 200 yards, pretty much. Well, actually, no, they gained some yards on this final drive. So 304 to 139. 22 first downs for the Denver Broncos, only 10 first downs for the Kansas City Chiefs. Yet the Chiefs cover. 20-13 is your final score, and that means that all three dogs, much like we saw on Thanksgiving, all three dogs cover here on your Christmas holiday NFL schedule. Only one of them won outright, by the way, in Minnesota. We'll talk about that game. But it was the Commanders covering against the Cowboys, Dallas winning by a touchdown, 30-23, the Vikings winning outright as a touchdown 7.5-point dog against the Lions, 23-10, and the Broncos with a 20-13 win over the Kansas City Chiefs as Kansas City covers as 13.5-point dogs. Two unders and one game going over barely between the Cowboys and the Commanders. That one closed a little like 51 or so, and it wound up being 53 points. So you do get an over in that Cowboys game. Final number here at Circa was 51. So you get an over there. You get an under in the Detroit-Minnesota game, closed at 45, finished with 33. And you get an under here in Kansas City, closed at 38, finished with 33. So dogs go 3-0, unders go 2-1. Here on Christmas. I'm Scott Seidenberg. You can always hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. Hit us all up on the network at VSIN Live. We are going to monitor the one NBA game that is still in progress right now. Your five-day NBA slate here on Christmas, finishing up with the late game in Denver, where the Timberwolves take on the Nuggets take on the Minnesota Timberwolves. And right now, we'll take a look at the score here and any live updates throughout the course of this game. We are tied at 22 in the first quarter. Earlier today, it was the Rockets winning as short favorites against the Lakers, 119-96. So they win rather convincingly. It was the Warriors covering their big spread against the Mavericks, winning by 10, 126-116. The Spurs, for the third time in less than 2 weeks, defeat the Oklahoma City Thunder. They win outright as near double-digit dogs, 117-102. And then the Knicks win, don't cover, but they win against the Cavs in the morning game, 126-124, in a game in which they came back from 17 points down, including being down double digits in the fourth quarter to come back and win that game. So we had exciting NBA action. That morning game does go over, so it's now four straight overs for the Knicks in that early Christmas Day start, the noon Eastern time tip. Not what it used to be. It used to be all unders, not anymore here on Christmas as that game flies over the posted total. We'll recap, obviously, more about these games talk about some of the wins, the losses that we had on our betting cards, and we'll look forward to the schedule coming up here on Friday. Got a busy schedule of NBA games here on Friday. Have three college bowl games as bowl season continues here on Friday. And then, of course, we'll take a look ahead to the weekend in the NFL, Week 17, which will resume on Saturday, and then, of course, on Sunday, where we've talked about the correlated plays. When it comes to the playoff situations, some sportsbooks aren't letting you do it, as we learned yesterday and today, but some sportsbooks are. So we'll figure out the ways to place these correlated parlays on what needs to happen in terms of NFL Week 17. All right, let's break down these games a little bit further. And we'll start in the NFL, because watching these games here on Christmas, it felt, and I tweeted this out, it felt like I was watching more terrible bowl games. That's what it felt like. And maybe that's what we're going to get over the course of this weekend and even next weekend, with nothing on the line for a majority of these teams. Literally, nothing on the line. We are at week 17 of the NFL schedule, and I know this is not what the league envisioned, and it's not always going to happen this way, but this is not what the league envisioned when they expanded the schedule to have an 18th week, right? This is not what the league envisioned when they adjusted the schedule to make sure that everybody plays division games in the final 2 weeks of the season. But here we are in week 17, and we know all of the playoff teams. There's maybe one spot up for grabs, and that's going to be settled here very quickly. And then there's one spot that we're deciding, but it's between two teams that are going to play each other for a division championship. Other than that, everything has been decided here in the NFL. There is no drama in the final 2 weeks of the NFL season. And with these teams that are out of it and playing for nothing, yes, we're seeing starters play, like Dak Prescott and the Cowboys starters. They're not sitting. They got nothing to play for. I mean, Dak's got something to play for. Certainly, he wants the, you know, passing title and whatever, you know, try and get some contract incentives, whatnot. But you can't. I mean, that was a fun game. I'll admit that was a fun game. Josh Johnson was you know, better than expected. Bill Kroski Merritt running all over the Cowboys. But watching Max Brosmer operate the Minnesota Vikings offense, watching Chris Oladukun operate this Kansas City Chiefs offense, and even watching their opponents. I mean, how did the Detroit Lions lay such an egg like that in that game earlier today? Jared Goff just looking as bad as he's ever looked, maybe? And he's had games, by the way, in which he's won games where he's turned the football over a bunch. But in this spot here, I mean, my goodness, Jared Goff was terrible. And then you're sitting here and you're wondering, well, the Lions, they could keep their playoff hopes alive, their narrow playoff hopes alive. They could, with a win, and then move on to next week. Nope. Laid an absolute egg here against the Minnesota Vikings. It felt like I was watching bad bowl games. Bad bowl games here on week 16 of the NFL season. How is this going to look on Saturday and on Sunday with the meaningless games? That's something that we're going to certainly pay attention to as we break down the schedule and we take a look at these games and what we want to bet when it comes to the NFL schedule here of week 17. As I mentioned, we do have one game in progress here that we are going to monitor in the NBA between the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Denver Nuggets. Right now, a 28-27 lead for the Nuggets, as the first quarter is coming to a close. We played one bet in this game, and that was Nikola Jokic to go over his rebounds and assists props, over 22.5 rebounds and assists for Nikola Jokic. And right now he is sitting here with 4 rebounds and 3 assists. So he has 7 so far, 7 to start this game. So we'll keep an eye on that. The scoring, though, oh, Jokic has 16 points here in the first quarter. We talked yesterday about the props and, you know, who was going to be the leading scorer of the day. Well, Jokic now sitting here with 16 points in the first quarter. He might be your front runner to have the most points here, and we'll talk about that here coming up. Hey, ProfitX, the number one sports prediction market, has some of the best futures pricing you're going to find on the College Football National Championship and Super Bowl odds. With a huge holiday slate shaping playoff seating, now's the perfect time to get in and take advantage of ProfitX's 20% purchase match. Download ProfitX today. Experience the future of winning. Use promo code VSIN to get started. So what an effort here from Nikola Jokic to start the game, as the first quarter is going to come to a close with the Nuggets leading 32-29. This line dipped prior to the start of this game with the injury announcement that Cam Johnson's going to be out for a couple of weeks here for the Denver Nuggets. They've already been decimated by injuries this season. So the spread live right now at the end of the first quarter, 2.5 Nuggets minus 2.5 over the Minnesota Timberwolves. Your live total is at 240.5. So we're going to keep an eye on this, see if there's any live bets that we want to place throughout the day here, throughout the night here. Plus, we're going to be joined by my good friend, NBA handicapper Mackenzie Rivers, will join us at halftime of this game, get his thoughts on maybe any second half bets and also plays coming up here for a busy Friday slate in the NBA. Also, coming up here on Friday, it is the start of one of my favorite events of the year, the IIHF World Junior Hockey Championships, the Under 20 Hockey Championships. DraftKings has lines, FanDuel has lines. Here in Vegas, we got Boomers has lines. There's a lot of sports books that do have lines on this event. We will give you the best bets for the games that are coming up here on Friday and some of the futures bets as well that we will certainly be monitoring. I'm Scott Seidenberg. You guys can hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir. ScottsOnAir. Hit us all up on the network at VSIN Live. We're just getting started right here with you on a Christmas evening on Cashing Out on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
On VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We have a 34-29 lead for the Nuggets as we watch them here in the second quarter. Let's see. Live line right now. Nuggets 4.5-point favorites over the Minnesota Timberwolves. Let's get back into the NFL, talk about what we saw earlier here on Christmas. Let's start with the first game that we saw earlier today, and that was, again, bad football. But we've seen these teams show off, and also the prop betting angle, something that has been extremely profitable here in these games. Let's take a look at the board here and take a look at what we saw here between the Dallas Cowboys and the Washington Commanders. Dallas wins 30-23. Dak Prescott certainly trying to ball out, and he's trying to lead the league in passing yards. Is that the motivation for Dak Prescott to play the remainder of the season? Because I'll give him credit. Dallas Cowboys have been eliminated here. Nothing to play for. But Dak's still balling out. 19 of 37, 307 yards, and two touchdowns here. He was in the running with Christian McCaffrey, comeback player of the year. There's going to be a lot of people that vote for Christian McCaffrey. I hope he wins the award. He was my selection to win the award in the preseason. But in any other year, if the Cowboys had a winning record, Dak has had a really good, like, Dak's a borderline, I'm not going to say he's an MVP candidate, right? You got to win these football games. And the MVP is going to go to the best player, best team, playoff team, all that stuff. But if you look at some of the numbers this season for quarterbacks, and no one's going to argue, watching some of the quarterback play that we've seen recently, Max Brosmer, Chris Oladukin, right? Some of these guys that we saw here on Christmas, you have a different appreciation for the quarterbacks that are playing at a high level, for the quarterbacks that have been consistent. Dak Prescott this season has been that guy. Dak Prescott this year leads the league in passing. And well, we'll see what Stafford does this weekend. He's thrown for 20, well, came into this game throwing for 28 touchdowns to 10 interceptions. Now he's got 30 touchdowns to 10 interceptions on the season. His QBR is 72.1. Amongst the league leaders this year in QBR. In fact, we go look at the stats amongst quarterbacks this season. Now, some guys don't qualify, like Brock Purdy doesn't qualify, but we can talk about him in a moment. Your top QBR quarterbacks this year, Drake May, Jordan Love, Dak Prescott, and then Matthew Stafford. I just think sometimes guys get bad, and it's not reputation. So maybe that's the wrong word for it. Maybe bad rep is the wrong word for it. But there's something, like there's a negative connotation sometimes surrounding Dak Prescott. Does he have that like Russ factor? You know, that Russell Wilson factor where maybe he's considered like corny or cheesy. I don't know what it is. But, and I'll give credit to, I guess it was our very own Dave Smith. Who had Dave Ross, who had the Dak Prescott over passing yards. And remember in the beginning of the season, we did that draft of the prop bets for the season here at VSiN, and he was picking Dak Prescott MVP, Dak Prescott over his passing yards. Dak's had an incredible season. The Dallas Cowboys just defensively left a lot to be desired. If you would have had, I mean, I don't know what they look like if Micah Parsons plays for them for the entire season. I don't know what this season turns out. If they don't make that trade and if other things happen and some injuries don't happen, but it hasn't been Dak's fault for the Cowboys losing these football games. Cowboys win. They don't cover here against the Commanders, but Dak improves now. He was 11-3 ATS against the Commanders in his career. Now 11-4 against the spread here against the Washington Commanders. I thought that Dallas was going to run the ball a lot more effectively in this game. Like, it felt to me like this was a Javonte Williams spot. I know he was banged up. I know he had the shoulder issue. The backup running back actually came in and played really well. But I thought this was going to be a Javonte Williams game. Malik Davis wound up being the guy with 103 rushing yards. Javonte finished with 54. Again, he was a little, you know, hampered by the injury. Jacory Kroski-Merritt, 11 carries for 105 yards. And journeyman Josh Johnson, 15 of 23 passing, 198 yards in this game. I thought he acquitted himself quite nicely. You know, he's a guy that you're not going to go into a season with him as your starting quarterback. He's a guy that you're not going to go into the season. I think at this point in his career, he's not even a primary backup. But he's a good emergency option. Certainly better than some of the other quarterback play that we have seen throughout the league here. So for the Commanders, at 4-12, nothing to play for. Playing at home here against a divisional opponent, source of pride. Rival Dallas Cowboys, great performance from them and a good cover. Once this line got out of hand and it got to 9, this was the buy spot on the Commanders at +9. Now moving forward, next week at the Eagles, whether it's Josh Johnson again or Mariota comes back, like, I don't think that we can look at this performance here against the Cowboys at home in week 17 and think we're going to get a similar effort in week 18 against the Philadelphia Eagles. Because what I noticed today in watching the Commanders, in watching the Vikings, and in watching the Kansas City Chiefs, and to a lesser extent, watching the Detroit Lions. Maybe not so much the Dallas Cowboys, but the Lions, sure. with these teams having nothing to play for, at home, they want to put on a show. At home, they get the energy from the crowd. They want to have a solid performance. Washington played that game today like it was a source of pride for them. Minnesota certainly played that game today like it was a source of pride for them. And Kansas City did not go down easy in what could be, or what could have been, Travis Kelce's final home game there at Arrowhead. And with everything going on with the Chiefs only having a couple more seasons left at Arrowhead because they're going to start next year building that new stadium there in Kansas City, Kansas. I want to look at the home teams in these games that are being played for nothing. And I think those home teams are going to come out with better efforts than the road teams. So I'm saying that now because I don't think if the Eagles are playing that game for playoff positioning, let's say the Eagles can improve their seeding in week number 18, I don't necessarily want to back the Commanders just because they fought hard against the Dallas Cowboys here in week 16. Now, if it's a battle of the backups, then who knows? If the Eagles are going with McTanner McKee and Saquon sitting out and everyone's sitting out because they're locked into their playoff positioning, well, then you can make the argument, and we can do that with every game coming up here in week 18. But for right now, just watching this game, because I did hear that, I did read that, on social media. The performance for the Commanders here against the Cowboys made people want to bet on the Commanders against the Eagles in week 18. I don't think that's the case right now. So I'm going to hit the pause button on that for now. Let's see what happens. Same thing we can look at, and we'll talk about the Minnesota Vikings game. But Minnesota at home, what a source of pride here for them. My goodness. They played hard. They had the whiteout uniforms. Now they are home next week against the Green Bay Packers. That could be a spot to back Minnesota also. Because they could want to play the spoiler role for the Packers. In fact, that's something that they wanted to do today against the Detroit Lions, was play the spoiler role. Do they want to do the same thing at home here against the Green Bay Packers in week 18? Maybe. Packers are an interesting case here coming up on Saturday with their quarterback situation. They just might have the benefit, though, of going up against the Ravens team that is going to be with Tyler Huntley at quarterback because their situation is not great. Football meets flavor with VSiN and Omaha Steaks, the official sponsor of tailgating. Right now, score 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings, plus save 50% off site-wide when you shop omahasteaks.com/VSiN. From legendary steaks to crowd-pleasing appetizers, Omaha Steaks makes games day easy and also delicious. Don't wait. Get 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings and save 50% off site-wide at omahasteaks.com/VSiN. That's omahasteaks.com/VSIN. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back here on Cashing Out, I'm Scott Seidenberg here on Christmas night on VSiN, the sports betting network. We have one game still in progress right now, and that is the Minnesota Timberwolves taking on the Denver Nuggets, where Nikola Jokic got off to a scorching start, scoring 16 points there in the first quarter. We're going to keep an eye to see exactly how many points he ends up with here tonight. We do have a bet, which in hindsight, you know, we could have placed a bet on Jokic to just have a triple-double, but the book was kind of juicing you on that at like minus 150 odds or so. I went ahead and we played Jokic over 22.5 rebounds plus assists, because that was like normal juice, like minus 112, minus 115 or so. And right now, Jokic does have 20 points on 7 of 9 shooting. He has 6 rebounds and 4 assists. So we are at 10. So we just need 13 more combo rebounds and assists for the remainder of this game. There's still about 3 minutes left to go here in the first half, but Jokic does have 20 points. He is well on his way towards a triple-double. Coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to be joined by NBA handicapper Mackenzie Rivers. We'll get his take on what happened here today on Christmas and also what we can expect coming up here on Friday in the NBA, any plays that McKenzie has here on Friday. Let's continue to recap the Christmas Day NFL games. First game, we did see the Dallas Cowboys and the Commanders in a very entertaining game. I should mention that with the Cowboys and Commanders scoring, 34 points in the first half, right? The Cowboys are now 15-1 to the first half over this season. 15-1 to the first half over this season, the Cowboys are. Very, very impressive. Also in that game, we talked yesterday about possible contract incentives. And I said, you know, it's week 17. These guys have 2 weeks to get this done. Could you look at certain players to go over their props thinking like, yes, like, you know, Debo needs a certain amount of yards or receptions and he's got 2 games to do it. Well, he did it here and he went over his receptions, number. He had the yardage number, excuse me. And so he winds up cashing his incentive prop. But he had 2 catches for 68 yards. So don't tell me that, like, you hit your handicap correctly because you were like, Debo needs 40-somewhat yards to hit his contract incentive. He had 2 catches. Yes, he took one. One of those catches was a screen pass that he took for 41 yards. Does that mean that, like, it was the right call to bet him to go over 40-somewhat receiving yards because of a contract incentive? No. If you told me that the reason why you were betting his over receiving yards is because you think the Cowboys are vulnerable to the screen pass, and so you could see Debo getting involved in the screen game and running after the catch, then yes, I'll take that handicap because he had 2 catches for 68 yards and 41 of them came on that one catch and run. But the prop that we did say that was worth playing only because it was plus 330 was Von Miller to get a sack. Von Miller is 2 sacks away from his contract incentive, $1 million for getting 2 more sacks on the season. And we said at plus 330 odds, let's take a shot on Von Miller to get a sack. Who knows? Maybe Dak falls down and Von Miller touches him. Well, Von Miller got a sack yesterday. I also said instead of the plus 330 on the full sack, you could have played plus 200 or plus 2 and change on over a quarter of a sack, meaning that he only needed to get a half a sack. Well, he got a full sack yesterday. So cash your bets on Von Miller with that sack prop. In the second game, you had Max Brosmer and the Vikings taking on the Lions, and the Vikings were my Grinch today on Christmas. They were my Grinch. My best bet of the day was the Vikings team total to go under. It was at 18.5 in some books, 17.5 in others. And this is something that I have played in pretty much every appearance that Max Brosmer has made. Every appearance that Max Brosmer has made, this is a bet that I have made. It started with that first, the first start that he had when I bet their team total to go under. They got shut out in that game against the Seahawks. Then when he came into the game against the Giants, I live bet the Vikings team total to go under, and all they did was score a field goal. And then here in this game, I bet their team total to go under 18.5. I recommended it to anybody who would listen. You could take under 17.5, sure. Think about what this guy has done playing this season. He has literally engineered 0 touchdowns. 0. And only 3 points on the scoreboard with him at quarterback. Well, what happened here against the Detroit Lions? The Vikings were certainly helped by Detroit turnovers. So many Detroit turnovers that gave the Vikings short fields. There were 6 turnovers by the Detroit Lions. 6 turnovers. That helped the Vikings get short fields. The Vikings' first touchdown came after a Lions fumble, a Jared Goff fumble, gave them a short field. Aaron Jones runs in the touchdown. 7-0. They end the half 7-7. Then, after a Jared Goff interception, that leads to a Vikings field goal. Another Jared Goff interception leads to another Vikings field goal. So now they have 13 points going into the fourth quarter. Their offense has done absolutely nothing. At that point during the game, the Vikings had, it was 40 yards of offense the entire game. 35 yards of offense the entire game. And then heartbreak. After a Lions field goal made the score 13-10, Jordan Addison takes a handoff. The wide receiver takes a handoff and goes 65 yards to the house for a touchdown. That gave the Vikings a 20-10 lead. They wound up kicking a field goal after another Lions turnover to make it 23-10, the final score. Minnesota scored 23 points in a game in which they had 3 passing yards. A game in which they had 161 total yards on 51 plays. But 65 of those yards came on one run. Think about that. They had 161 yards. 161 yards. 65 of them came on one play. That means they had 96 yards on 50 plays. Do you realize that is a less than 2 yards per play in this game? How in the world did we lose this bet, guys? How did we lose this bet? How did the Lions look themselves in the mirror, to be honest with you? Detroit season's over. I completely thought that they would... I thought this would look a lot different with them coming off the loss. You know, usually Dan Campbell, who had an incredible record off the loss, right? We talk all the time about the Lions under Dan Campbell and Jared Goff, how great they had been off the loss. This, not the case. What an embarrassing performance here. Their season is now over. And you look ahead. There's still one more game left to play. The Lions are at the Bears in Week 18. Does Dan Campbell rally the troops? Does he fire up his Detroit Lions team to go into Chicago next week and possibly play a spoiler to prevent the Bears from winning the division? Or is this a Dan Campbell and Ben Johnson handshake agreement where, you know, does Jared Goff not play? Does Jahmyr Gibbs not play? Does Amon-Ra St. Brown not play? The Lions have been decimated by injury all season long. Injuries on the offensive line. Injuries to all the, you know, Laporta and all these other players. You know, does Dan Campbell throw Ben Johnson a bone here in Week 18? If that game means something for the Chicago Bears, and maybe some guys sit out. Players don't tank. Organizations can tank. Also, just what's the motivation? I just don't know. I truly don't know. Hey, as the official horse betting partner of VSiN, horse racing partner, First Bet is built for bettors who demand more. First Bet isn't just about placing a bet. It's about helping bettors of all levels with proprietary AI handicapping tools that provide data-driven insights to help you make smarter bets. First Bet's in-app tools give you win, place, and show probabilities for each runner so you can quickly and easily identify good value plays and improve your ROI. Right now, you can take advantage of their limited-time $250 sign-up offer to claim your bonus. Use promo code VSIN250 when you sign up in the First Bet app or at firstbet.com. That's promo code VSIN250. We'll take one more look here at the Chiefs game against the Denver Broncos with a look ahead to those two teams' final games of the season here coming up in Week 18. And then we'll get into the NBA here on Christmas Day. I'm Scott Sadenberg. It's Cashing Out here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Cashing Out, I'm Scott Sadenberg with you on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. We continue to recap what we saw here on Christmas Day in the NFL. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we're going to switch gears, get into the NBA, recap the five-game marquee slate here on Christmas Day. Right now, we are at the half where Nikola Jokic is tearing it up here against the Minnesota Timberwolves. 23 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists on 8 of 10 shooting as the right now, it is the score in this game as we are at the half is a 57-55 lead for the Nuggets over the Timberwolves on the live line. It is the Nuggets, a 2.5-point favorite over the Minnesota Timberwolves. So coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll get into the NBA. We'll recap all the games that we saw here on Christmas Day. Look ahead to the games coming up here on Friday. But we continue to talk NFL, and in the nightcap, it was Chris Oladokun and the Kansas City Chiefs giving the Denver Broncos all they could handle as Denver wins with a late touchdown, but Kansas City covers. All three underdogs cover. Totals go 2-1 to the under here. And Bo Nix, he does, it's amazing. Bo Nix is, like, how do I explain this, okay? And I don't want anybody to take this the wrong way. I kind of look at Bo Nix in similar ways that I looked at Tim Tebow. Okay, no, I'm not comparing the two as far as their skill set or what they do, as far as running the football or their passing abilities or whatever. But there's something about Nix. There's that intangible that Tim Tebow had. Several other quarterbacks have it as well. But Tebow's the first one that comes to my mind because Tebow lacked the other skill set, right, that you needed to be a successful quarterback in the NFL. But he was a winner. Tim Tebow won football games. Bo Nix wins football games. It's not going to look pretty all the time. Bo Nix was 26 of 38 for 182 yards and one touchdown and an interception. He ran the ball 9 times for 42 yards and a touchdown. Scrambles, not design runs, scrambles. And when it's all said and done, it was another ugly one-score game that the Broncos won. They are now 13-3 on the season. But in how many games do you watch this year, do you say that it was Bo Nix having a great passing game and the Broncos played a great offensive game and that's why they won? There might be 3 games this year that happened, right? The win against Green Bay where he throws for 302 yards and 4 touchdowns. I can't even say the win against the Giants, even though he had a good game in that game, but that was one where, remember, they had to come back with that monster fourth quarter. Game against Dallas, he throws for 247 and 4 touchdowns. But in some of these games, against the Chargers, that was the one that they lost, 153 yards. They win a game against Philly. Okay, he threw for 242 and 1 touchdown. Somehow they beat the Jets in an ugly game, 19 of 30 for 174 yards and a touchdown. They beat the Texans in an ugly game, 18 of 37 for 173 yards, 2 touchdowns and an interception. They beat the Raiders on that Thursday in an absolutely ugly game. He goes 16 of 28 for 150 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions. And then here against the Chiefs, 26 of 38, 182, a touchdown and an interception. Ugly games, but he finds ways to win. Bo Nix is a winner. There's a reason why Sean Payton drafted this guy. Sean Payton is a Bill Parcells disciple. And going into that draft a couple of years ago, Bo Nix was the quarterback that fit the Parcells rules of drafting a quarterback. You wanted a guy that graduated college. You wanted a guy that was a starter for over 3 seasons. You wanted a guy that won a high percentage of his games. Bo Nix was that guy. And Sean Payton identified it, and that's he some say he reached for him, but he got his guy. And it worked out last season. We saw flashes of it, and it's working out here as they are 13-3. Say what you will about it's not pretty, it's not fancy, it's not sexy, but 13-3 and the number one seed right now in the AFC playoff picture, that's all that Sean Payton cares about. He doesn't care about putting up big numbers. He doesn't care about making it look good. He, being a Parcells disciple, cares about one thing. And it's the exact quote that Bill Parcells would always say. You are what your record says you are. The Broncos are 13-3. That's all that matters. Now, does that mean that this is a team that you want to back in the AFC playoff picture? I don't know. Probably not. Honestly, I don't know who I'd back in the AFC playoff picture. The market will tell us that the highest power-rated team is the Buffalo Bills. They don't have the best odds to win the AFC because they don't have the best path. They're not going to have a bye. They're going to have to go on the road to win these playoff games. But right now, your favorite to win the AFC, Broncos plus 340, Patriots plus 390, Buffalo Bills plus 400. So think about how narrow the odds are between Buffalo, Denver, and New England when Denver could have a first-round bye and the Patriots are going to be the two seed hosting playoff games, whereas the Bills will be a six seed going on the road. Yet those odds are so close. The market's telling us the Bills are the highest power-rated team in the AFC. It's just because their path is not ideal that they're not higher favorites. Who would you back in the AFC playoff picture? I don't know if there's... And the Bills have been shaky. We know that. But they might be the only team we trust because they might have the only quarterback that we trust when it comes to the playoffs. And what do we know about the Super Bowl? You need the quarterback. The AFC playoffs this year will feature Bo Nix, Drake May, Trevor Lawrence, Aaron Rodgers, Justin Herbert, which is amazing because the Chargers have no offensive line, Josh Allen, and C.J. Stroud. Those are the quarterbacks that we will see in the AFC playoff picture. There's one guy that you want to put your money on, and that's Josh Allen. The NFC, Sam Darnold, Caleb Williams, Jalen Hurts, either Baker Mayfield or Bryce Young, Brock Purdy, Jordan Love, and Matt Stafford. There's a couple of those guys you'd put your money behind. More so Stafford, Purdy, and Jalen Hurts. You need the quarterback, guys, when it comes to the Super Bowl. In the AFC, the Broncos, they have a guy that wins. Can he win in the playoffs? That's going to be the biggest question here about the Denver Broncos moving forward. I'm Scott Satterberg. You can always hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. We're going to get into the NBA coming up here in just a few minutes. But I wanted to also recap something that we talked about yesterday on the program, which was the Christmas Day specials in the NFL. Who were going to be your leaders in the statistical categories, your passing leader, your rushing leader, and your receiving leader. Dak Prescott was your passing leader, and it wasn't even close. Dak throws for 307 yards here on Christmas. He was the favorite going in, so you didn't get much of a payout here on Dak Prescott, but no other quarterback threw for 200 yards. It was all about Dak, 307, easy runaway win. Your rushing leader, cashing at 35-1 odds, Bill, Jacory Kroski-Merritt with 105 rushing yards. You cash that bet. Now, Javonte Williams was the favorite. He finished 13 carries for 54 yards, but he had that shoulder injury. Malik Davis, the Cowboys' backup, had 20 carries for 103 yards. Now, imagine if half of those yards were Javonte Williams. He would have been your weekly leader, but also imagine the ticket you could have had on Malik Davis. He wasn't in the top 10 of the odds. So easily over 50-1 odds on Malik Davis to be the leading rusher. And Kevontae Turpin was your leading receiver. He had one catch, guys. One catch for Kevontae Turpin, and he was your receiving leader. 86 yards on one catch, an 86-yard touchdown George Pickens, who was your favorite to win this market. He had 4 catches for 78 yards. Amon Ross St. Brown had 8 catches, but only 68 yards. So congratulations if you did cash your weekly leader on Kevontae Turpin with 1 catch, Bill Kroski-Merritt, and Dak Prescott. I'm Scott Satterberg. It's Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.